Before Peter comes, I'll do the reading, which is in Luke chapter 18, verse 31. And the page in the Bible is 1053. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. And we're going through to chapter 19, verse 10. Luke 18, verse 31. Jesus again predicts his death. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Well, good morning again. It's good to see you once more here at Park Street Baptist. I do pray for you, and I enjoy the fellowship we have here, and just pray once again that the Lord will meet us as we meet together around his word. I wonder if there have been occasions when you're tempted to think it's not worth sharing the gospel with that person. It might be because you know they're not interested. Maybe they've been very clear in saying they despise the gospel. Maybe you have other reasons to think that way. I know that there will be many people that we do think like that. Maybe it's a colleague at work. Maybe it's someone in the office or at school or a neighbour or a friend, a member of your own family, where you've had occasion to speak to them. But at the last moment, you've kind of not quite done it. It didn't quite happen. They wouldn't have been interested anyway, might have been the thought that passed through your mind. But surprising people have come to the Lord. Just think of John Newton. You know the man who wrote Amazing Grace, the captain of that slave ship, who was transformed by the gospel, and that wonderful quote from John Newton, "I'm a great sinner, but I have a great Saviour." He perhaps of more people than many could say, "I'm that great sinner." But I can think of people in my own experience, and not one person I know because he died last century, but a man called Billy Bray down in Cornwall, where I come from. Have any of you heard of him, incidentally? Anybody? No? Oh, well, one person, good, lived just down the road from where I came from in Cornwall. He was a drunkard. He beat his wife. He beat his children. He swore, and he had a quality to his swearing that marked him out. And yet, despite being a hopeless case, Billy Bray became a Christian and an evangelist and someone who sought out in that area the tin miners of his day and generation to bring them the gospel. God transformed him, and God can transform people. I think of a man that I met to experience a 1904 revival in North Wales. A man, a very old man when I met him, could speak of the way God had gloriously saved him when he was a bit like Billy Bray and could say how many things and what he had done, and yet God stopped him. Of course, we have Paul, don't we, in the New Testament, where Paul, who said to himself, "I was a persecutor of the church. I was one who put these people who called themselves Christians into prison. But God had mercy on me." And I'm sure that Eunice, I certainly do, who when confronted with the gospel, when challenged with their own mortality, with their own sinfulness, came to repentance and faith in Christ. Thinking about people like that, I'm sure that even the most unlikely person was not more unlikely than the man that we meet in Jericho today, a man called Zacchaeus. He might have been a little man, but he was a big cheat. He might have been small, but his wealth was great. There were four words that describe this man. Did you notice them as we read it? Just if you've got your Bibles, you might like to have them open in front of you. In verse 2, we have four words that describe Zacchaeus. The first one was, he was a chief tax collector. And the fourth word, he was wealthy. A rich chief tax collector. He could have been just an ordinary tax collector. He could have just done his job. He could have been a bit like Matthew, who was a tax collector, and you remember the Lord transformed him and brought him in to the disciples, and he wrote one of the Gospels, Matthew. He could have been like some of those other tax collectors, and if you want to read about it, you can read it in Luke chapter 3 in this same Gospel, where some tax collectors who repented said to the Lord, "What should we do?" They were tax collectors. They were the people that the other people hated. "What shall we do?" Jesus didn't say, "Leave your tax collecting." No, he said this: "Collect no more than you're authorized to do," in Luke chapter 3. Being a tax collector doesn't make you popular. But it's one of those jobs that collaborating with the enemy made you unpopular. But it was a necessary evil, wasn't it? We have our own tax collectors. We don't treat them in the same way, but tax collecting is how we live, isn't it? Zacchaeus could have done that and no more, enough to satisfy the Romans, but not an excessive amount to anger his fellow countrymen. But he went one step beyond that. He was not just an ordinary tax collector, Zacchaeus. No, he was a chief tax collector. He was one of those ones who organized other people. Again, he could have done something to not annoy his fellow countrymen. But we read that for him. He was rich. You don't get rich by being kind to people. You don't get rich by being polite and courteous and helping old folk or helping little children cross the road. No, you're hard-nosed. You charge more than is required by the Romans and you keep the profit for yourself. You could say it was a form of legal stealing. Actually, forget the legality, it was stealing. He stole from the people around him. The Romans wanted their taxes and the money just kept on rolling in. And Zacchaeus wanted his share of it, and he made sure that he did. Do you know what's interesting is, Zacchaeus' parents thought differently. I don't know if you know what the word Zacchaeus means, but it means pure and innocent. Pure and innocent. Well, he was anything but pure and innocent, this Zacchaeus. And if anyone was beyond the reach of the gospel, it was rich chief tax collector Zacchaeus. He was in a class of his own, robbing everyone and hated by all. So isn't it a little surprising then that as we read, this Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus? You can imagine the scene, can't you? Jesus arrives in Jericho. The crowds are out waiting for Jesus to come. And before Jesus had appeared at this particular time, news got out that a blind man had been healed. Bartimaeus. You know that old Bartimaeus? He was on the at the city gate and he'd been there for years. He was now healed. Jesus had healed him. He had recovered his sight. And Bartimaeus, well, he was jumping around, telling everyone what had happened. And that served to heighten the expectation. Well, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Jesus was on his way. But Zacchaeus had one thing against him. And we read it in that passage. And that one thing against him wasn't just that he was a tax collector. Wasn't just that he was chief tax collector and he was rich. But Zacchaeus was a little man. What he had in wealth, he didn't have in his height. And so there he was. The crowds had gathered, a wall of backs, and nowhere to see Jesus. No one was going to give way to Zacchaeus. Well, you know the story, don't you, of course. Zacchaeus threw dignity to the wind and climbed that sycamore fig tree. He just wanted to see Jesus. He was not interested, we don't read, in hearing Jesus or see a miracle. He was intrigued. Who is this Jesus that they're all talking about? He didn't want to hear Jesus as the disciples did. He didn't want to ask a question about the law as that rich young ruler did, or we're told not even to see a miracle as the crowds did. Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus. What happened after that, of course, is astonishing, isn't it? It was unexpected to everyone, even Zacchaeus. But did you notice three surprising things in verse 5? Let's just read it together. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. three surprising things in that verse. Well, of course, the first surprising thing is this. Jesus walking into Jericho, there's a crowd there. He could have looked at anyone, but he didn't. He looked into a tree. Up into a tree. It was probably in leaf, so it might have been difficult to see Zacchaeus. But he looked into the tree. Surprise number one. Surprise number two. He looked at Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, isn't that surprising? Jesus knew his name. Zacchaeus." And the third surprising thing was this. "I must stay with you today. Hurry, get down. I'm staying with you today." Isn't that interesting? Three surprising things in that one verse. And yet, you know, there is one other surprise. And I don't know whether you noticed it. One other surprise. First, when Jesus looked up into the tree, he called him by his name and he said, "I've got a meeting with you." But the fourth surprise is, up to that point, we thought Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. But what we find is the opposite. It was Jesus looking for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus made the effort and he climbed into the tree. He was the one who was desperate to see Jesus. But it was Jesus who found Zacchaeus. What's interesting in these verses is this: the second of two incidents that happened in Jericho. We read the first one, didn't we? The blind man who was miraculously healed. He cried out to Jesus. He could not and he would not be silenced. He made sure that Jesus heard his call. And Jesus asked him that question, do you remember? "What do you want me to do?" Bit of a surprising question given that Zacchaeus was blind. But Jesus wanted to hear Zacchaeus ask. And so Zacchaeus said to Jesus, "Lord, that I might recover my sight." Did Zacchaeus ask the Lord any question? Well, we don't have any question that Zacchaeus asked. All we have is a request from Jesus. "I'm going to visit you in your house. Hurry and get down." You know what that shows us is what Jesus explains in the last verse of the passage we read. Just turn to verse 10. We've got Bartimaeus, who was healed. We've got Zacchaeus, who was found. And here we have Jesus explaining why he came. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus found Zacchaeus. That's why Jesus found Bartimaeus. And that's why Jesus is finding people like you and me, people who need forgiveness, who need salvation, who need to hear the gospel, is the Lord Jesus Christ finding us. But of course, the sad thing is that not everyone was as pleased with what Jesus said as Zacchaeus was. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, the people grumbled, they mumbled together, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Well, you can't be surprised by that, can you? These people who had Zacchaeus knocking on their doors, taking more money than he was entitled, grumbling at Jesus. "You're interested in Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus of all people, the one who really is just out for himself. You're interested in him?" Can you imagine after this incident when Zacchaeus has said, "I'm going to give half my riches to the poor and I'm going to give people back fourfold if I've stolen from them." There's a knock at the door. It's Zacchaeus here. Well, that knock would never have been welcome in time before this. Zacchaeus' knock was not a knock that you wanted to hear on your door. But now, the door opens. "Ah, Zacchaeus, I've paid you. Surely you don't want any more." No, Zacchaeus says, no, I'm giving you back what I've stolen. What an interesting look that was. I'm giving you back what I've stolen. Or before, the poor. Well, the poor were of absolutely no interest to Zacchaeus. The poor don't pay taxes. So why even be interested in them? They weren't even on his radar. But here's Zacchaeus. Half my wealth to the poor. Zacchaeus looking for the poor to help them. People who he was never interested in before. What we have here is a wonderful example of repentance and what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a man who knew the Lord Moses. And I don't know whether you're interested in, but turn to Exodus 22, not now, but afterwards, and you'll see what people must do when they've stolen something from someone else. And it is, make restitution. Give back to them more than you took, 4 times, 5 times, or 6 times. And here's Zacchaeus, giving back, making restitution, following the law. As it says, you stole, give back. So as Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house because today this man has turned to the Lord. Today, even Zacchaeus, this man who we know was beyond hope, the thief, the sinner, the rich chief tax collector, today this Zacchaeus had turned in repentance and faith to the Lord. Now, I've told you the story. It's a totally familiar story. You might have known it anyway from start to finish. You might have not noticed those surprises. And I hope as we thought about it, that was maybe focused a bit on the thing which is the center point of what Jesus is saying in this incident, that he was the one who was looking for us, even though outwardly it might have looked like Zacchaeus was making the effort. It was Jesus that found Zacchaeus. But I wonder if there are a few lessons that we can learn from that passage. And I think the first one is this, and of course you'll know that. Anyway, the gospel is for everyone. There are no exceptions. There's no one that we could say is off limits. Someone who's beyond the pale, someone who's done something so bad that is beyond the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no one like that. And I don't know whether you read the history of the Nuremberg trials and that Nazi, member of the Nazi party who turned in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name I've temporarily forgotten. But even in that extreme, Christ can forgive. Paul, when he was facing difficulty and disappointment in Corinth, the Lord appeared to him in a vision and said to him, continue, be faithful, for I have many in this city who are my people. They haven't heard yet. They don't know the gospel yet. And you are going to preach to them. But they are my people. And you're going to preach the gospel to them. There are many encouragements in the Bible. Encouragements that we know in our own experience. People like John Newton, Billy Bray, others who in the most extreme circumstances can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to preach the gospel to all. Who knows? But the person that you're speaking to might be a person that the Lord is already speaking to. And that brings me to a second point. And it's this. It's the Lord himself who is seeking to save the lost. As he said in verse 10, it's the Son of Man, Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost. I wonder if the Lord is speaking to you this morning. Maybe you've been a bit like Zacchaeus, looking on, intrigued by what you're seeing, intrigued by Jesus, intrigued by what he is and the person he is and what he's done and what he's taught. If that is you, then I would encourage you, find out more about the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Well, it's quite simple. You read the Bible. Because that's where we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about what he said. We read about what he did. We read about that wonderful, that amazing act of salvation when he died on the cross for us. That's why I asked if we could read that first bit. Because that sets the scene for Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. Who did Jesus come to save? It was people like them. People like you, people like me. People that he was going to die for on the cross. You see, we cannot climb a tree to see Jesus. There is no tree that we can climb where Jesus is going to walk beside, below. We cannot go to the gates of our city to see Jesus heal a blind man. So how do we meet Jesus? Well, we meet him in the pages of the Bible. It's only by reading it here in our church. It's only by reading our Bibles at home, with our children, with our family, that we come to know who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and how we can believe and trust in him. If God has blessed you with a family, then God has given you the joy of leading your children and the responsibility of leading your children to him. How do we do that? It's by opening the Bible and reading it with them. What a joy it is to do that. Nobody else will do that for us. It's our responsibility and our joy to read the Bible and teach our children at home as well as here about who Jesus is. I know that might not be for all of you, and maybe I'm speaking to a few, but I do remember my mother. My father's away a lot when I was growing up, but my mother, every day we would sit down and read the Bible and pray. Every day we would do that before we went to bed. I learned the gospel that way, when she took her responsibility seriously. And I do pray that that might be your joy as you take that responsibility seriously to teach our children about the Lord. But maybe I could say one last word to you as a congregation here in Park Street. You're a congregation here, you love the Lord, and I love the hymns that we sang today as you speak of your joy and your knowledge of what he's done for you. How do people, young and old, come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's when they meet him. It's when they hear about his death and his resurrection, about his death for them on the cross, when he took their sins. When he brings full and free forgiveness through the gospel, that they might be forgiven. We read that, didn't we, in Luke 18, verse 31. Let me just read it again, just a few verses there. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, "When I'm going to Jerusalem, everything that's written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spat upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." The gospel, it's a wonderful gospel. It's a gospel that speaks to us of forgiveness, of peace with God. It's not a popular message. People don't want to hear it, to hear a substitute taking our sin on the cross for us. But it's clear that's what the Bible teaches. We don't make the gospel up. It's what the Bible teaches, and it's what we believe. If we want people to meet Jesus, then they meet Jesus in the Bible. I know one of your members, like me, is a member of the Gideons. And that's one of the privileges of giving out a Bible, to say, even if I can't speak to you, read the Bible and you will meet Jesus. What a blessing it is to meet week by week on a Sunday morning to read the Bible and have it explained. Anything else is not worth the effort. If we want to meet Jesus, then by the Holy Spirit, as we read the Bible, He will be revealed to us.